ViralCast, MovieViral.com's official podcast. I'm Dan, the executive editor for the site, and today we have a very special Comic-Con edition of our ViralCast. We're going to recap our amazing experience over at Comic-Con. Today we have with us Nick, who is our owner of the site and God. I think that's what we call
him. That's me. I prefer Führer.
Oh, Führer, sorry. Okay.
Remember, I was God last time. He was Führer.
We changed up once in a while. You know, we're polygamous here. You just heard that was...
No, that's not... What?
That's Scott, our graphic designer and contributing editor. How's it going, Scott?
Very well. Yourself?
Very well.
Thanks for having me.
First time caller. then we have Chris, who one of our reporters. How's it going, Chris?
Doing fine.
And then we have Josh, who actually shares the last name with Nick, but no relation. And he's a reader of the site, and he's helped me out quite a bit at Comic-Con. I'm very happy to have him there. Here, how's it going, Josh?
Pretty good.
All right. So, yeah, so, you know, as a lot of people know, this is actually our first time covering Comic-Con, like, live there ourselves. Last year we had... Kelsey and...
Train accident.
Yeah, among other things. We had Kelsey and Rose, two of my friends, actually were there, and they covered it for us as best they could. And they, you know, they got us some good stuff, and both in terms of swag and, you know, as much coverage as it could. But this year, I think we obviously, even with just me being there, we still got quite a bit more than what we did last time. So I think every year you're gonna see us getting better and better coverage. So this year we did a lot. We, you know, focus was on the panels, as you can tell from our coverage. That's where you get some of the good stuff. But there's an overall experience that you have to get, and you can tell from our my first couple of days of covering it. I did some videos of, like, the preview night where you have the floor of the convention and then the gas lamp district, which is really cool. I want to defer. So Josh, how many times have you been to Comic-Con now, Josh?
This was my third year going.
Very nice. And so, Scott, have you been to the Comic-Con before?
No, I was down the street from it a couple years ago when I lived there, but that was about it.
Right, because I remember you used to live in the area. So, I'm assuming Nick and Chris, you guys haven't gone either?
Four times.
I'm afraid of it.
I've never been.
This is the point of the podcast where Dan rubs it in that he's been there once.
No, I just want to make sure. I don't want to, you know, if anybody's had any other experiences, I want to defer to them at certain points. But
20 years ago. The traffic years ago.
It is pretty crazy down there. I mean, that's one of the first things I noticed was, like, holy crap, there's a lot of people here. Yeah, it's really an overwhelming experience. Because there's so much that you're trying to do at once. I mean, if you looked at our preview of Comic-Con, you'll notice that we were very ambitious. Or I was very ambitious in what I thought I could cover, and I think that, you know, more people will be able to do something closer to what I actually said. But it's just so overwhelming. I mean, to the point where you're not sleeping much and you're not eating much. But you know,
sounds like you have a problem. I think we'll talk to a doctor about that one.
I should. So we'll kind of go over overall a little bit of a day-by-day kind of thing. So Wednesday night is the preview night. We're on the floor and everything. You know, and there was a lot of cool stuff on the floor, like usual. Obviously, if you look at our video, you see they had the Tron stuff. They had my favorite thing was kind of probably that Buried Alive thing. That was kind of cool for Buried.
Yeah, your acting was awesome, by the way.
I tried.
Yeah. Were you just standing up, like, I suppose?
Yeah, yeah, you stand up, but you go into this box, and you stand up, and then you know, they tell you to make sure you keep your back against the wall and everything, and then, like, they give you 15 seconds to, like, you know, do whatever you want, pound, whatever, and it's, like, weird, it's just weird, because I'm, like, I feel so awkward doing it,
and then... Just imagining some creepy guy going in there doing,
Whoa,
some pounding, right? I suppose.
You are. No, it's you like. Said, I... We'll move on to that.
As opposed to Dan's 1-inch punch, they're giving you the 6-inch punch.
Yeah.
You like my Kill Bill reference at the end of my thing?
That was nice. That was nice. Very nice.
It's nice.
I didn't know what to do.
It was so sad.
I'm doing it because it's 15 seconds and it goes by, like, really slowly. I'm like, I did the banging and stuff, and I'm like, okay, now what? I'm just kind of waiting for a second. And so I was like, I'll do the Kill Bill thing. That's the first thing I thought of.
You stood so far away from the back of the thing, it actually looked like you're floating.
I have godlike powers, so...
That's you should have gone as closest to the front as you could. It just...
I should have, like, waved back. I should have waved my arms around a little bit, too. I'm like, whoa. They buried me in space. It was weird because as I was, when you're done, you go to get, you know, to send it to Facebook or Twitter or whatever, and I'm doing that, and then, like, the next girl or whatever just went crazy on the door. Like, she was banging and screaming, like, super loud, like, and it was really kind of scary. But,
Dan ran away.
I know.
So pretty much your first experience in Comic-Con, and it was scary as shit, wasn't it?
Yes. No, it was really fun, though. I mean, I got to, if you see my article, you know, you get to pretend to lift a car, which actually was surprisingly heavy, and that was for No Ordinary Family.
I saw Bob Stenzel lift it with his penis.
Very nice.
Yeah, he did.
I saw him in some of the panels. That was great. Yeah, it's really, and then they have that the entire week, so it's, you know, that's where you get to see a lot of the good costumes and crazy stuff. And Thursday was when the real stuff started, and Josh was awesome because he actually camped out overnight in order to get the panels. Hall H is like notorious for having, you know, it's the biggest place and the biggest place where they have the panels, and it's really hard to get in because that's the big name people do those. So Thursday and Saturday especially. So Josh, what time did you start camping out for the panels on Thursday?
Thursday I got there at 7 o'clock at night. Wednesday night.
Yeah.
Oof, have I know. You camped out since then?
Yep.
Oh,
I was impressed. Lord. That's why I bought him lunch the next day because of it. I was like, you're a trooper. But
Lord.
Yeah, and so, you know, so I was able to join him in the morning. yeah, and so the
Chihuahua.
Oh.
It,
you had to go there. So the first thing they had was the Mega Mind panel. That was the first thing that we saw. Which actually was surprisingly good. Do you have any thoughts on it, Josh?
Yeah, I was quite surprised with how it turned out. Because, you know, for something like that, I was expecting a whole lot of really kiddie stuff. Mm-hmm. But when they cut right into the video for it, I could tell this was going to be a very, you know, somewhat adult movie, which... You know, really helped. And then when Will Ferrell stepped out on stage in his character's outfit, that right there just made the panel.
Yeah, that's hilarious. He comes out like in the full getup, and just, and he brings he brought breakfast, right? And then he brought like it was like one little bag of donuts and stuff.
Yeah, and like a small little carton of orange juice.
Yeah, and he's like, "Whoa, there's a lot more people than I thought," and things like that. Yeah, and it was actually surprisingly good footage. Where it's a different story because the bad guy is sort of the good guy in a way. And then obviously the next panel after that was probably our biggest panel that, you know, for what we like to cover is the Tron panel. And that was cool. They did the trailer which came out online. So they showed that, and they also showed the footage that didn't come out, although I think it leaked for a little bit, and that was kind of, you know, when you see that kind of iconic image of him going up the ramp, you know, there's this stuff before that and a little stuff after that, and that's kind of what they showed, and it was pretty cool because it kind of gives you a more in depth look at the world and the way that they're, it's like an arena almost like gladiator style because like the people are out there, the programs that people are out there chanting and stuff. It's really weird. What were your thoughts on it, Josh?
Yeah, I thought it was really good as well. I liked that the video they showed, which again really cements how well this new Tron world is going to turn out. And again, the gladiator part you mentioned definitely has a very huge arena feel to it. And of course, I don't know if you want to mention the little surprise they had for us to take part in.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it was really cool. They did, I guess they were trying to get some crowd sounds or something for Industrial Light and Magic. And then they had us do sounds like D-Rez and I can't remember what the other ones were. But they had us stomping at one point, and they had us do just a bunch of sounds and stuff to get crowd noise. So it's like, we're going to be in the movie because of that.
You're a film star, Dan.
I know, finally. But
no, it worked so hard.
It was fun. It was really weird, too, because it's like, we weren't sure what the hell they were doing. We kind of, I think we should go from there a little bit and kind of continue with the Tron thing. So I know later that day we, they started doing the vial for it where, they were tweeting out, Operation Tron, I believe was the Twitter that was tweeting out locations, and you would, go there to get, a package. First you had to go one place, take a picture. Josh actually did it, and that's how I was able to get in. So Josh explained kind of how that whole process was, where they were doing the pictures and having to figure out how to get there.
Yeah, certainly. They started tweeting out, much like where last year they had the IHC tweet out locations where you'd go and get your package to become a member of the IHC. Operation Tron did the same thing this year, where they would tweet out intersections to go to, and you had to find a picture of something Tron-like. I know the very first one they did was a yellow light cycle, which unfortunately I didn't get to. The one I got to was a red recognizer, where they'd have a little like poster taped up against the wall. You snap a picture of yourself next to it. And then the second tweet would be where you'd go to meet up with the people. You'd show them the picture, which it ended up being people from 42 Entertainment. Mm-hmm. And you'd get a package, which would be two Flynn Lives wristbands for the arcade and a Flynn Lives code on them. And then you got a very small identity disc, which would glow in the dark if you set it out under the sun long enough, with a 2 gig flash drive stuck into it with the brand new trailer on it.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. And it's funny because they were doing that. That's my biggest thing. I was like, oh man, whatever it really was for, I was like, I'm not going to get it because, like, I'm not going to go running around the city. I'm not going to have the ability to. And, but then, you know, Josh was right on top of it, and then they were lucky enough they actually gave you two wristbands, so I was like, awesome. and so then we went there. They went to the Flynn's Arcade on Thursday night. Waited out there for a little bit, and then, they let you in. And it's crazy because it's just like, and you see my video, I posted it, it's just like the movie where the inside of it has all the things covered up, all the arcade games, and the Tron one opens up, and you go into his office, and then they derezzes you, and then you're suddenly in, like, this Tron-like club area. It was really cool. It was, I think the biggest rumor we kept thinking was like, oh, is Daft Punk going to be here? But I remember mentioning before that they probably weren't, so I wasn't thinking that. But that was, people kept going like, what more could they do? But it was really cool. I mean, what do you think of the whole thing, Josh?
Yeah, I thought it was brilliant. I got to talking with a bunch of people who did the Flynn's Arcade last year, and they were saying, you know, it was nothing like that this year. The experience we got where, again, you know, we went through the arcade, they played a few sound bites, and then the whole arcade crackled to life with electricity. Then they took us through the arcade, and as you mentioned, into his office. They did a few sound effects in there as well, where they simulated us getting hit by the laser. Took us down a hallway, which was to look like us being sent into the game world, and then we ended in the end-of-the-line club, faithfully recreated, I think, from the movie.
Yeah. Yeah, it was really well designed. And throughout it, they had a few things where they had some of the toys that we got to take a look at, and then they had, like, a full-size replica of a person that's a program. It's cool because, like, the waitresses and stuff had the same, you know, the Tron look, and they had and then there was just random models just walking around that also had the program. They looked like programs, and then they had a few of the cast and crew there. They had the director there. They had Bruce Boxleitner, who's in the first and the second one. And I actually got autographs from both of them on one of the coasters, which is part of the game, and I'll be giving those away later.
Very nice.
Yeah. So that's a nice little prize there.
Can I win?
No, sorry. But So yeah, so it's cool because that was kind of one of the cool things is they had these coasters. And I remember when we're walking around, I'm taking the video of everything, and then I get to the point where the only thing they had was Coke Zero. So that's the only thing they were handing out in terms of food or drink.
Yeah. But beer Zero?
Nah, I know.
Ah.
But they and so they had coasters too, and I'm looking at the coasters, and I'm like, these have to do something. That was the first thing I thought of, because they had a little bit of the code on here, and you actually did when you line them up with the same symbol that was throughout the couple places throughout the little club area. You see that they actually make symbols and stuff, and we mentioned that in one of our articles, how it gives you more stuff from the Flynn server, some more images and things like that, where you kind of get an idea of why he's maybe back in the world of Tron. That's kind of cool. So you see people like, you know, some people just hanging out, and you have some people like going to the walls and like posting, putting their coaster up to the wall and trying to match things up. And, you know, it's kind of funny to see. There was one group of kids that were sitting next to us, and they were just like sitting there with like writing this stuff down in a notebook. And there's like three of them just huddled together, like trying to figure it out. It was pretty funny.
It's awesome.
But yeah, it was really cool. And then, so it's actually, if you go to the trailer addict.com, site, they have the their own video of the walkthrough, and the guy, whoever is doing the video, is right behind me. So you actually see my back of my head for pretty much the entire time.
Ooh.
Ooh.
Yes, it was. I know. It's like everywhere you went, there you were. You're a film star.
It was like never my front. I mean, I kind of skipped through a few times, but I'm pretty sure I never saw the front of me. It was always the back of my head.
Probably for the best.
That's your best side.
I know. I agree. So that's okay. Yeah, and so as far as Tron goes, I think that was the only real.
There was a MySpace party too.
Yeah, they have they had we talked about that a little bit, I think, because they had it open again on Friday night and Saturday night. I'm not sure which night was the MySpace party though.
The MySpace party was a Friday night.
Okay. So yeah, so I mean, they had. That's pretty much all they did, though, was the arcade. Was there anything else, Josh, that you remember from Tron?
Yeah, I do know that after we had our encounter with it, that later on they did open up the actual arcade itself.
All right.
The only downside is, I think, as opposed to last year, where people got to play the machines for free, I know this year for a few of them, you actually had to get real quarters to play most of them, though a few were set aside to be free to play.
Yeah, it's interesting because I walked by there and I saw the inside where they made it all like modern games and stuff. And
it did they have Pong?
I don't know. I didn't go in, but that's the thing is like the it kind of ruined it. It was like we got to go in when it was still like set up for the movie and stuff. So that's what I thought was so cool. Is like everyone else sees it all with all the gaming stuff in there, but we actually got to see it like exactly like 100% replica of exactly what it was like in the trailer.
Right. That's also. We got, of course, our Flynn Lives coins this year with one celebrating the NCOM games, like CrazeBot, Vice Squad.
All right.
And then when we were leaving, they had 700 posters of, and at the bottom numbered which one you got out of them, and they were like a in-world, end-of-the-line club posters.
Yeah. Yeah, it was really cool. And that was the whole thing, is that the club was called End-of-Line. Which is what they use for in the movies to say like you're done. and so they had limited edition posters, which was cool. And they had the coins too, which I took a picture of for the article, so you can see. Had each of the just like the postcards had each of the games in there. The tokens had each of the things. Those didn't do anything though, but it was cool to have. So on Thursday, you also had another panel. Sony had Battle Los Angeles and Salt. I know at that point that was Josh. You had left at that point, right?
Correct.
Yeah. So we'll go over what he saw later. So with that, yeah, Battle Los Angeles and Salt, and obviously we've covered Salt a little bit because they had a little sort of a within a one site arg little game they had, and they showed some footage of it. And it looks all right, you know. No big deal. But, yes, I mean, they didn't show a whole lot either, though. They mostly just, it was her talking about it and talking about, you know, being the kind of character who it was and everything. And it was actually, relatively dull for a panel, but the Battle of Los Angeles one was really cool. Just if anything, just for the footage. That the way that Battle of Los Angeles is set up is that it's in the, I think, relatively near future. I guess we're having a war with aliens, and a big part of the war, or maybe even all the wars, is in Los Angeles, which has been pretty much abandoned. But there's still some survivors. So they sent in a platoon of, here it even says here, a platoon of unseasoned soldiers to meet the threat. So like they're led by Aaron Eckhart, and Michelle Rodriguez is in it, and they're so they have to go in and try to get him out. And the way that they shot, and the scenes they shot were really intense. It's like, you know, Black Hawk Down, like a hardcore war movie, but it just happens to have the aliens in it, and it's pretty cool. I mean, it had the real awesome spectacle to it, and I think you'll see as we go on later too that there seems to be a little bit of a trend lately is to kind of do a very strict genre film and then just add aliens to it.
It sounds like a ridiculous concept at first, like right. Aliens Los Angeles, but I'm surprised.
Yeah, it really does. You think, I remember hearing about it, I'm just like, oh, it's, you know, oh, it's a war movie, you know, another alien thing, but it actually does really take this really hardcore, you know, like I said, Black Hawk Down or other movies like that, where it's really gritty and it really feels like a war movie, and you almost forget maybe that they're, you know, they just look like really good enemies, and you forget that they're, you know, they don't, sometimes you see, like, the huge explosions, and you're like, oh, yeah, that's right, they're aliens. they don't really show the aliens in what we saw, though. They seem to be in some sort of exoskeleton, and they kind of show little bits and stuff, but they don't really actually show you anything so you get any kind of idea what the aliens look like, though. They seem to be reptilian or something like that. But it'd be interesting to see if they... I don't think they will, because it really seems to be kind of like that viewpoint of the one platoon, so it's not like, you know, shots of the president talking, you know, you don't, it's not like that, it's, you know, it's much more, it's about this group of soldiers, so you probably won't get to learn a whole lot about maybe who the aliens are or why they're doing what they're doing, but it's the only bad thing I can see from that. I'm trying to remember what else, I think pretty much after that I did a lot of the, it was mostly focusing on the whole Tron thing.
Don't forget that Battle LA picked up that new viral site too.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, reportthreats.org is a site, and they had it kind of advertised there at Comic-Con. And who wrote that article up?
I did.
Okay, so you want to talk about it?
Yeah, I mean, I kind of bashed it a little bit because I had Sony's name on it and stuff like that, but the fact that most viral sites when they start have nothing on them but a name.
Right.
And this thing is loaded with videos and newspaper clippings and links to other sites. And I mean, it's a huge amount of information that whether it's going to continue to be built upon or whether, you know, what you see is what you get and that's it for the, you know, until the movie comes out, who knows? But
right.
I mean, it's huge. They have so much stuff in there that I haven't even finished looking at all of it, but I you know, I give them credit because they didn't skimp out like they've done in the past, you know, Sony. They've actually put some good stuff out there, and, you know, it almost has like a cross between what they've done for District 9 and, you know, some of the viral footage that has been released for like Inception and stuff like that. So it's kind of cool.
Yeah, it's the kind of movie where I think that it'll really benefit from that because, like I said, I don't think you're going to get to learn a lot about the overall big concept, and maybe this, you know, these kind of sites will help you with that, see the big picture. Kind of like Cloverfield had that a little bit.
Were there any interesting characters at all that could justify this ridiculous plot as a character study?
I don't know. I mean, Aaron Eckhart's very good in it. He plays a good leader. No one else really stands out to me.
He's got Michelle Rodriguez. That's all you need.
Her playing, yet again playing a badass.
She does it so well.
She likes it. They talked about that at the panel when they ask questions. They're asking her about how you always play a badass.
And I heard about one of her comments that she made.
Which one did you hear about?
Something about I could always get raped and win an Oscar.
Yeah, she said. Yeah, it was kind of like an offhand comment, and people were kind of like, "Whoa!" It was weird. It was like, because I guess she was trying to say, like, you know, that there's not a lot of good roles out there, especially for like tough women and stuff like that. So she, you know, she tends to take the action ones because they seem to be the best characters or the most strong ones. And she likes that, but she's like, you know, if I really want to, I guess I could, you know, I could do that. But, yeah, I think people kind of like, whoa.
At least she's honest.
Yeah. You know, She definitely speaks her mind. But it was definitely a funny moment. But yeah, she was talking about that whole concept about, because someone asked her about Aunt Lucia. Someone accidentally called her Aunt Lucia, her character from Lost, and that is funny. They're like Aunt Lucia. I mean Michelle Rodriguez. I was like, awesome. I'm trying to think if there was anything else. So Josh, other than the Tron stuff on Thursday and what we went to, did you do anything else?
Well, Thursday also, I did catch the Rocket Puppeteer's ice cream truck going around.
Oh, that's right. So talk about that.
Well, they were parked pretty close to where the machete people had been setting up. They were handing out Rocket Puppeteer's popsicles, which I'll get to what happened with those in a little bit. T-shirts, which, of course, was the logo on the front. And then I was catching on the Twitter feed that if people had followed the printouts and mailed and got a little letter back for them, there was something extra you were supposed to get for those. But unfortunately, I didn't mail mine out in time, so I wasn't able to take part in that. But the popsicles themselves were a bit cold, so you had a little bit of a frostbite incident if you weren't careful with them. Much like myself, I
hurt your lip.
I, you know, took off a bit of my lip, unfortunately.
but you got a t-shirt for it, so.
Yeah, I did get a t-shirt, though, luckily. Blood free on it.
There you go. I thought it was cool. I mean, I didn't think they were going to do anything for Comic-Con. And so I thought that was really cool that they did that, and it's something that's still, it's not necessarily new, but because it's something that they're already have established, but it was a nice little thing. I mean, I don't know how much we can glean from it in terms of info, but it's just really cool that they did that.
Well, if I had to guess, I'd have to say, like, with Cloverfield, they had a slush show. The websites they created for it tied in a bit of little info to the Cloverfield movie. So if I had to guess, I'd say this is probably going to be their new slush show for the movie. Yeah.
That makes sense. I can tell you that their website's down right now, so that could mean they're doing something different to change it.
What do you mean by down?
It's not working.
Like, at all, it doesn't even have the logo on there?
Nope, server not found.
What?
So keep an eye on that site tonight.
I don't really
see. Looks like the Super 8 alien turned it down.
I don't really. Yeah, and then that's, you know, Thursday night also get a chance a little bit to do the Gaslight District. The gas lamp district. I think it's a gas lamp. So, you know, that's kind of the one of the cool things about Comic-Con is that it's not just the convention floor. It extends like to almost all of downtown San Diego, where you see a lot of people doing stuff off-site. You know, like I said, we saw the machete thing where they were giving out free tacos and tequila, and they were showing snippets of the movie, I think. I thought it was going to be the whole thing, but apparently it was only snippets.
Who cares when Danny Trejo is giving you tacos?
I know, because Dan Trejo was there, Robert Rodriguez was there, Michelle Rodriguez was DJing for a little bit.
It happened again.
Look, that was Machete rolling by.
I'm telling you.
You get cut off with the motorcycles. I'm sorry.
What, do you live in a biker gang? Like, I don't understand that.
Yes, I do. I live in them all.
Yeah. Did you ever see the movie? Did you ever see the movie Mask?
Yeah.
Rocky Dennis hung out with a bike gang. With his mom. That's Nick.
There you go. But anyway, so yeah, so they had the machete thing, and they said they had someone later said showed me pictures of Michelle Rodriguez totally just you know geeking out on the turntables. And they had a couple. What was some of the ones they had out there? Like I said, we talked about the Fun's Arcade and the Super 8 already.
Right. There was the Sci-Fi Cafe.
No, go ahead.
What was that?
Oh, the Sci-Fi Cafe was there again. They were doing it based off of Cafe Diem from the show Eureka,
right.
Which is always a con favorite. Their entire menu gets replaced by sci-fi show related meals, mm-hmm. And Cartoon Network took over a pizzeria as well.
Oh, that's right, we ate there. getting feedback.
Yeah, there's something choppy here. When you were doing your video in the Gaslight, there was. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay, there was some guy on the side of the road there with a second mass cardboard sign. What was that all about? Was he doing anything, or was he just...
He was just there. I mean, I know there was more to the whole thing where there was a different codes, but I mean, everything was just so crazy, I didn't have a chance to follow through on him.
Does it look like he had one of those QR things on his
keyboard? Yeah, exactly. And so, I mean, and if you see, I took a picture of him later. He was actually at the convention, but I think there were different locations throughout the area where they were doing that. And I don't know what they were leading up to because I just didn't have a chance to follow it all. And I don't remember reading anywhere either. But that was something that they were doing. It's just a guy. It looked like a homeless guy. So I don't think a lot of people noticed him. Because it's some guy with a sign.
You guys are talking about the second mask thing, right?
Yeah,
the guy on the side there with the cardboard.
Did you ever see anything came of that, Josh?
I know they were... they looked like resistance fighters from the gist of what I got of it. Like, the homeless guy looked like...
Yeah.
Wherever he had been living, his entire area got destroyed, which is why he set up like that. And those were tied into where they had, again, GPS coordinates at... I want to say three or four different areas. There were at least two within the convention center themselves. But unfortunately, I wasn't able to get around to finding out what those were about. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. And you just kind of forget about it, too. Like, I remember taking the video of it, and I just didn't think about it after that. But yeah, also there's a lot of things like that where they change the themes of stores. Obviously, you just get to see the people walking around, too. That are all in costume, because there's some crazy costumes out there. Probably the best costume I saw was the, when we were waiting in line on Saturday, the Pac-Man one, where there's a guy in a big Pac-Man suit, and then, like, there's, like, three ghosts following him. It was hilarious. But there's a lot of good ones. I'm sure when you go on YouTube, you'll see people do, like, interviews with all those guys and everything. So there's crazy ones that even I didn't see. All right, and so then on Friday, I know me and Josh were doing different stuff. So, what was the stuff that you went to, Josh, on Friday?
Gonna have to try and take a little bit to remember this because between Thursday and what happened all on Saturday, mine's a little frazzled. So why don't you start off with the things you did?
All right. So first, I got a hooker. No, I'm just kidding. I went to the first thing I went to was the I must have posted it later. Yeah, the Hawaii 5-0 panel was the first thing I went to, which I know first of all sounds people like, why are you going to Hawaii 5-0? But actually, it's because the next one was The Walking Dead. But I actually liked it. I mean, I've watched a few episodes of the original series of Hawaii 5-0, and I love it. And it's the actual stuff they showed looked cool, and they had the cast there and stuff. To see Daniel Day Kim from Lost was cool, and Grace Park from Battlestar Galactica. So I did a recap of that later that day, so you can read that. And it looks cool, and they kept the same theme song from the original, and it looks kind of fun. You know, it doesn't look like a serious show, but it looks like it might be kind of fun to watch. But the big one, obviously, the big panel for that day was the Walking Dead panel. And that was really cool. They showed the footage from it, some stuff, kind of a extended promo, sort of. And it looked really good. And the special effects for it, you know, for like the makeup and everything, looks really real. But they can't do too much on the gory side, obviously, but they actually said they couldn't show at Comic-Con everything that, because AMC apparently is really cool about them going full on with the gore and stuff, so they couldn't.
They're technically cable, so
right, and so they have a lot more leniency. So they but for Comic-Con they couldn't show some of the stuff, but they so apparently there's some good gruesome stuff when you
actually... The books themselves are. They're graphic. I mean, whether it be, you know, the violence or the language or, you know, I mean, there's everything in those books. So part of me is curious to see what AMC is going to get away with. But at the same time, you know, they're going to be up there with, you know, using the word shit every other sentence. So,
yeah, it'd be interesting to see just the concept. I mean, I haven't read the comics, so the idea of doing a series based on, you know, zombies is not something you see very often, if ever. And so that's something that's going to be really interesting to see how they continue with that and play with that the concept of the character. You know, you want to learn about the characters and everything, but then you still have to give the scares.
The high points. It's one of the high points to do it like an actual zombie series itself, not just a movie.
Yeah, it's cool because it's easy to do a movie just because like everything goes to hell and then okay, whatever. But yet here you have to find a way to creatively extend it so that you know your main characters survive and that they that you know they still do something interesting with each other. it's definitely has a good visual to it. It'd be interesting to see, you know, how that lasts, or if they stick to the plot of the comic books.
Well, they've got plenty to work with.
Yeah, they got a lot to work with.
You know, I mean, there's 70 plus, you know, books and stuff like that too. So you've got so much you've got so much storyline, you got so many characters that, I mean, you could easily do a series, two, even, you know, three seasons worth of, you know, footage. So
yeah. So that's why they were able to do it. Because I think otherwise you would be really skeptical as a network to do a zombie series because people would be like, well, how far can you really go with that? But then when you have the source material like this, then it's kind of a no-brainer.
Right, because shows like Dexter and Bones, you know, there's always the books, and then they pull bits and pieces from the novels, put it into the series, of course, to please the fans, and then they do slight arcs off of it. So, of course, Walking Dead has quite a few comics out already to pull from, but it's the kind of thing where unless the publishing cuts dead, they have thousands of bits of source material to pull from.
Yeah, definitely. So it'll be interesting to watch that. That premieres in the fall. I can't remember what day it was. So.
October. It's in October. So
yeah, so that's good timing for it too. You know, right for Halloween. But no bump.
Terrible.
Wow. I think that was the big things I did. Oh, I did, there are some press conferences I was able to go to, for the other guys in the Green Hornet, from Sony. Sony had a panel with those two and Priest, but I wasn't able to go to that. But they had the press conferences, so, you can actually see the videos on our website, and it's kind of cool to see those guys up in personal. The press conferences are really cool, because, like, there's, like, you know, there's Hall H or, you know, and other, venues. I mean, you're talking hundreds of people, you know, probably thousands. I'm not sure how much the Hall H sits, but it's quite a bit of people. And so the press conference is nice because it's very, much more smaller. I think it was around 20 to 30 people. That's it. And then they're much closer to you because, like, you're all, like, in one little room. So that was really cool, and it was, like, intimidating because they kind of want you to ask questions, and I was like, I'm just going to let everyone else ask questions. I'll videotape. But it was cool, so I actually got to talk to Christoph Waltz for briefly.
You did?
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, I basically just told him I really liked him in Inglourious Basterds. That's basically all I said. But
fair enough.
He was cool. And then Eva Mendes waved and smiled at me, so that was nice.
Are you sure it was you, Dan?
No, it was. Because I looked at her, and I think she was trying to, like, break the awkwardness of, like, hey, I just caught you looking at me.
Break the awkwardness of you staring at her?
Yeah, basically. It's Eva Mendes. But,
well, this is awkward for him. I better fix this.
Exactly.
Yeah. Uh-oh, he's about to do something weird. I better walk away.
She has plenty of experience with that. So, you know, people acting weird around her.
That's all Movie Viral's first Comic-Con experience was Dan staring at people.
I kind of did that later. That night was the NBC party. And I got there's a lot of cool celebrities that are, like, you know, from Community, and a couple other shows were there. And the first person I actually, like, saw that I actually, like, made any kind of contact with was the guy who plays a beer in Community. And I kind of did, like, the looked at him and, like, smiled, like, hey, I know you kind of look. And then he's just, like, kind of gave me the what's up nod. But I felt so stupid because I was like, I didn't know what to say to him. I just, like, and then that was it.
He gave him a smile, and then Eva Mendes comes up and was like, don't worry, Amir. He does that to everyone.
Exactly. Oh, man. It was pretty bad. But then I got more comfortable, you know, because there were so many, you know, Donald Glover was there, so I got to talk to him real quick. I talked to Dan Harmon for actually quite a bit of while. Like, he created Community. He's the executive producer. So I actually got to talk to him for a little while. And then I met Zachary Levy, who plays Chuck on Chuck. And he actually took my business card, so I'm pretty excited about that. No, it was cool because he seemed really excited about Viral, the concept of Viral. He's like, when I told him what we did, he was like, his eyes lit up. It was cool. So I actually got to talk to him a little bit about Viral and stuff. So that, I didn't realize that. The guy's tall, too. The guy's like 6'2", 6'3", or something like that. Especially because, you know, you're so used to seeing all these actors that are short and everything. So
what, what does that mean?
What do you mean?
Yeah.
Or is that like a stereotype that I don't know about?
No, I'm just saying, well, a lot of actors are really short. If you actually,
I didn't know that.
If you ever see, like, they make them look tall.
We'll know that next year, Nick. Yeah, yes. Next year, Nick and I are going to know that.
Yeah.
When we punch you in the stomach.
I hope Gwyneth Paltrow and Robert Downey Jr.
I'd rather not.
Harrison, but then Gwyneth Paltrow is super tall, and Robert Downey Jr. is practically not too far from being a midget. In my opinion.
It's all about framing. Well, like, Christoph Waltz is pretty short. I thought he'd be taller. You know, things like that.
It's all camera. Like, smoke and mirrors.
Smoke and mirrors. That's Hollywood for you. And then that night, we also did the Let Me In party, which Josh was there with me for.
Very nice.
And that was cool. It was like at first it's like, this has nothing to do with Let Me In. But they had these candies, these candies. They had them out everywhere, and you're just like, what the hell is this? And we find out later, the next day when they did the panel, that it actually is part of the movie where the main kid, like, really, really loves Nowrelators. So it was kind of cool that we figured out later. But they had, like, pizza and stuff there, too, and then they had the director, Matt Reeves.
Does pizza play into the movie?
The pizza's... Well, I don't know. We didn't see that much. Maybe it does.
Oh, vampire really like pizza?
Yeah. No, actually, that's what it was.
He only eats pizza delivery guys.
Their blood tastes better. So they had some of the people there, like, and we have to meet Matt Reeves, who's the director of the movie, and also the director of Cloverfield. So that was really cool. It's funny because, like, we were in the party, and I'm thinking, like, man, I hope that there's, you know, some of the people come from the movie, because I want to be able to, like, tell Matt Reeves how, like, his movie, like, started our site practically. And then one of the coordinators actually brought him over to our table. Like, I didn't have to find him. He's like, would you like to meet Matt Reeves? I'm like, yes. No, at least you can leave now.
What if you just turn up? No, not right now.
Not right now. Can you, like, half an hour? Can you swing around about half an hour later? Thanks.
I'm in the middle of a conversation, and that was rude.
Exactly.
I'd like you to leave Comic-Con immediately.
Throw the napkin on the table and walk out.
Good day, sir.
Stab at the door. I bet you a good day.
No, but he's really cool. He seemed nice. What do you think of the Let Me In party, Josh?
Oh yeah, I thought it was great. The pizza, the drinks,
free drinks.
Yeah, free drinks. Matt Reeves just walking right up to our table was like, "Hey guys, how are you doing? You know, you may know my work. I'm just an average guy."
You're so humble.
Yeah, getting to meet his wife too. That was quite a shock.
Yeah, no, I didn't think she looked kind of like flabbergasted. She didn't know what to do because she knows, like, no one's there to meet her.
She was like, "Oh my god, you're Dan Kolsch.
I read your site every day."
MovieSpiral.com.
MovieRival.com.
Was she? No, never.
She was good looking. Is that what you're gonna ask?
Yeah, that was what I was gonna ask.
Nick.
Yeah.
What'd you think of the Let Me In party?
Well, I like the pizza.
Yeah.
And the drinks.
Oh, man.
Oh, and do you remember when we met Matt Reeves' wife?
Yes.
I think her name was J.J. Abrams.
Oh, man.
I have the invite in my inbox. That's as far as I got to Comic-Con this year.
I gave her half of my business card.
There you go. You ripped it in half. Be like, come back for the other half later.
Exactly.
I introduced her to Eva Mendes.
There you go. Oh, man.
Waved.
So, Josh, what were some of the things that you went to on Friday now that you've had a chance to think about it?
Friday, I hit the Bones panel, which was pretty nice. We had David Boreanaz and Emily Deschanel, the two main stars and the executive producer for it.
Cool.
Just really discussing their past seasons, their future seasons on the show. The author of the book showed up, and our ticket redemption for being in that panel was her new book based off the Bones series, which was pretty nice. And then I got to sit in on the Masters of the Web panel, which was pretty nice, which really boiled down to just online film critics really bashing the Transformers 2 script for about half an hour.
Nice.
Those are our competitors. We don't talk about them.
No, we're all part of the online family. It's okay.
I'm sure you get to meet them and enjoy their company.
Yeah, the panel was pretty nice because it got moderated by Edgar Wright, which was quite a shock and a nice surprise.
Oh, that's cool. Mm-hmm. And then was that? Did you do anything else interesting?
No, that was mainly it.
The rest of my day was boring. Okay, and so then Saturday was the big day for panels. We stuck out in Hall H again. Josh was very awesome in camping out. What time did you camp out for the Saturday one?
Saturday, I got there at about 1, right after the Let Me In party. I went back to the room, got changed, took a shower, unlike everyone else in that line. And
I was just about to say, what do people smell like by Saturday?
The BO was not as bad as I thought it was going to be. That's the one thing I know. Like, in general, like, I was impressed. It wasn't as bad as I thought it was going to be.
Yeah, the halls this year, I think they really cranked up the AC. Just panels, though, a few of them, you really, really wanted a gas mask.
Yeah. Those seats are so close. Like, it's all luck of the draw, depending on who you sit next to.
I can't wait.
Next year, just bring a gas mask with you.
There you go.
It's
part of your costume.
It fit right in.
I know.
All the celebrities wear car fresheners.
There you go.
Yep. Just around their necks.
In fact, that was what Ryan Reynolds' ring was actually a car freshener. It wasn't even Green Lantern's ring.
Speaking of that, so that was the first the panel that we started out with on Saturday. Was
so like how I led into that, and I wasn't even there?
That was smart. So that was Warner Brothers. They did Green Lantern, the Harry Potter, the Deathly Hallows, and then Sucker Punch. So the Green Lantern one obviously was the big. Well, I guess some people really cared about Harry Potter too, but Green Lantern was probably the exciting one for a lot of people because they were like, "Oh, we get to finally see him in the Green Lantern costume." Well, no, you didn't. they did show a clip. They only showed it once too. It was like a little kind of teaser compilation thing, but it was him not in the costume whatsoever. But there is kind of a cool thing where they do where he does that punch where it turns into like a big green fist, and it looked kind of cool. I guess someone told me it's part of the comic, but I'm like, it looks kind of cool. But it was the only good thing about it though is that they did do the Oath live for this kid who was like totally excited and just to hear it, and then he did they gave away some stuff too, but that was probably the highlight of it. But a lot of people were mad that they didn't show the the him in the costume. They didn't show, and they only showed the clip once.
Well, the nice thing about the costume is the CGI, so if they get enough grief, they can always change it.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if that was their reasoning for not showing it. It was because it was still CGI, and maybe they were still kind of developing it.
Hope so.
I mean, I don't know what the reasoning was. I think a lot of people were upset by that. What did you think, Josh?
Yeah, they did mention halfway through that someone did ask about the suit, and they said, well, it's all supposed to be very muscular, like very scientific look of a human being's muscular system. But all they right. did mention that it's still very up in the air of what they're going to end up with. So they kind of hinted at that might be the suit forming on him. Mm-hmm. Again, with the punch, you know, that's just him using willpower to throw a punch with his ring. They did show a clip of Oa, the homeworld of the Lanterns, which was pretty nice.
Yeah,
it was only cool. Like quick 5 seconds. They did show a few of the other Lantern members, mentioned who would be in the core in the movie. We did not get a clip of Mark Strong as Sinestro, though, which was a bit of a downer as well. But yeah, the Oath, they did have some lucky winner had a ticket underneath his seat, which they got the ring he'd been wearing for the past 6 months.
Yeah, that's cool. So someone actually got to have his ring.
Very nice.
It was me.
No, I didn't get it either. It was actually somebody next to me.
Well, the thing is, like, they made
I was so pissed off that he got that ring, I stabbed him in the eye.
Oh, geez. Oh, man. Was that the one where they had, was underneath your chair, Josh? Was that the one?
Yeah.
Because I think I don't like, I didn't like the idea of like having to reach under your chair. I don't know what people have been doing in these chairs.
Stabbing people.
It's gross. Reach out of your chair. You either got an eye or a ring.
Oh, jeez.
Or Oprah's book club.
And so the other thing they did was Harry Potter, and they showed kind of an extended, a few clips from the film, and kind of an extended view. It was weird because the only person out there was Tom Felton, who plays the bad kid. What's his name?
Drake.
Yeah, and so they, so he was the only one out there, but they,
that's weird.
Yeah.
Just him alone?
Yeah, he was just talking to the moderator guy.
Not anybody in the crowd. He's just like, hello?
He didn't even sit down at the table. He just like was at the podium with the guy. It was weird. But
he's really important in the sixth book.
I don't care.
From what I remember. What is he doing there?
I haven't read it yet.
Anyway, so but the clips look really good. I mean, that's the one thing, the new Harry Potter, I mean, I've watched the movies and they're pretty decent, but this one really looks like they really stepped up their game, especially with the action and the effects. I mean, they really, I mean, you could tell this is definitely the end just from the intensity of it.
Or
is it just the beginning?
Dun, dun, dun.
Dun, dun, dun. That's all they should do.
What is this, God of War 3? The end begins.
The end begins.
End is chaos.
Anyway, and then they did Sucker Punch, which was the Zack Snyder film. It's actually his first original project, and it's very
original. Oops, did I say that?
Oh, and then so they showed the trailer. I think it was a trailer for it, and it was just like insane, like weirdness. Like, I mean, a lot of people seemed to love it, but I was not a big fan. I mean, it had that same Sin City, you know, 300 style, very distinctive of him, and it was, you know, crazy stuff happening, and they didn't explain anything about the films. I had no idea what the hell the film was about, and it's just like the crazy. Oh man, and they have it online now, so you can look it. But it's just
the,
like
the only thing I thought watching that video was Bob Stenzel in like 2008 or 2007 actually talked to him, and he pitched an idea for 302 all women.
Mm.
And that's all I could think about when I watched that.
It was. I mean, it's very female heavy cast.
It looks like a Tarantino Asian ripoff. It's, whatever. I don't care. I'll come right out and say it. It looks horrible. It looks like it has no plot. It just takes 4 to 5 to 6 women, shows a little bit of ass cheek and cleavage, and he's got a movie. You know,
there you go.
Whatever.
Well, I Scott, like. I mean-
I like him. I like his slow motion. People give him shit for his slow motion, and I think he puts that in perfect places. But this film just looks like steampunk wannabe garbage. Sorry.
Nice.
It's not even garbage. It wants to be garbage.
In a world where garbage wants to be.
Well, I don't know, Josh. What do you think of the footage?
Yeah, I do agree with a lot of your guys' comments about it. I mean, of course, I love his just directing style in general. I thought Watchmen was amazing. But yeah, it does in a way look like a burlesque show through different set pieces in slow motion through a lot of them.
That's a pretty good sum up of it.
Yeah, I mean, at this point you have these women that are trying to fight for their lives and break out of this whatever the hell kind of hold they're under.
It's a mental.
And they're just like, you know what? I think I'm going to show half of my ass before I shoot you and stab a mech bunny suit. I don't know. It makes no sense.
The,
but you know what? It's going to get people's attention because it's got half-naked women. It's got machine guns. It's got sword fights. It's got a dragon for some reason. There's a dragon in it.
Well, it's all fantasy world. So, I mean, the plot of the movie, at least the very little that I was able to glean from them talking about it, is that these girls are in this mental asylum, and at least the main character, she's been put in there unjustly by her father, and so they're trying to break out, and some of it turns into like a fantasy world for some reason.
What better way to get back to your father than become a stripper?
There you go. but all that stuff's like in the fantasy world. I'm not sure, and I'm not sure why it's being like the concept like. I don't know. What'd you get out of it, Josh? I'm like, I was confused.
It looks like an escape from their tormented reality type deal, which makes sense. But it looks like they're toying between that, as in trying to use those as methods to break out of the asylum as well. It's like, what can we imagine greatly and then bring back into our real world and try that against someone who's actually real?
Oh, I hope that's the case, because otherwise it won't make any sense.
Pretty much.
Well, you guys are missing the point of this film. What they're doing, what they're really doing is... Yeah, I'm going to continue my series of contradictions. But what they're really doing is that they're taking every single thing awesome about what is awesome and putting it into just one movie. Look, they got dragons, they got guns, they got girls, they got swords. Come on.
What, do they like get a big hat and put a bunch of things in it and pull it out? And then
yes.
Actually, they just put it all in and then just empty the hat and said, we got a movie.
Yes.
They didn't even pick out anything. They just put it all in and picked it back all out.
What is he, Michael Bay? You can't make films like that.
Well, no, Michael Bay is... what can you put into an explosion, you know? That's what it is with Michael Bay. It's not just awesome. It's just, how can you make this explosion?
Nice.
How can I make this hat explode?
Yeah. So the next panel that we had was the Let Me In panel. And as you know, they've Let Me In has done a little bit of viral, so we've covered that. And I'm actually not a big fan of the original movie that this is based off of, Let the Right One In. I find it a little slow. But the stuff that they showed for this, it kind of impressed me. There's a sequence that they show where they're at the main girl and the boy, in case you don't know, the girl's a vampire, and she moves into town with her, like, fatherly figure. And she befriends this boy who's gets beat up a lot and bullied. So her and the boy and the girl are in the mini mart, and then like he wants to buy her candy, but she doesn't want candy because, you know, she can't eat it. And so, but then she eventually says yes.
Sucking her fangs.
Yeah, no. Well, you know, they eat blood. They don't eat. You know. So she actually ends up eating one, like, because she wants to be nice to him, and then she ends up having to spit it out outside. And then there's another scene the really intense scene where they're showing her, like I said, the fatherly figure. His whole role is that he goes out and gets blood for her, and like by killing people and then like draining them in the funnels, like the ones I got from the viral campaign. And so they show one where he's really creepy. He stays in the back of the car and he has like this garbage bag over his head, and then but then it goes wrong because I guess another guy comes into the car, and then it ends with him pouring acid on his face. Basically, you can see how that happens if you watch the movie.
Okay.
Well, he does it because he doesn't want to be recognized. So, in order to protect her, so
he puts a bag over his face.
Well, no, the bag part's so that they don't see him, you know, and that he kind of blends in with the back of the car. It just looks like a bunch of junk the way he dresses and stuff. And then the acid part he keeps with him, I guess, just in case things go wrong, that he can protect, you know, the girl and himself and everything by just changing his face by pouring acid over it so they can't recognize him. It's at least in the other movie. I think it's in the book too, because it's based off a book. I don't know. What did you think of the footage and what they talked about, Josh?
Yeah, I mean, like you said, the first one was, or the original was very, very slow. This one looks, I mean, of course, it's a nice little Americanized version of it, but it does pick up a bit where it's needed. And again, with the whole candy scene, I thought they did that perfectly based upon vampire mythos. But I'm really looking forward to it.
Yeah. Matt Reeves directed this, so it'd be interesting to see how he takes this concept, because there's some really deep issues with this in terms of it's almost like, and he explained it like this, it's a character study of how hard it is to be a vampire, and you know it's not all, you know, sparkly in the sun kind of stuff. It's, you know, it's some pretty tormented things you have to deal with as a they kind of don't really deal with the gender ambiguity though that's kind of referenced in the book and in the first movie. That's my understanding from what he says. Yeah, but I think that should be pretty interesting to see.
No, I think this one's going to be by far better than the original one.
Yeah.
Because of what you just said. He's looking at it as in there's a side of vampires that, you know, you have to look at. It's not blood on the snow artsy crap, which is what the first one was, you know.
Although he did say that that was important for him. It was to set it in a place with snow because he loved to see that contrast.
And you know, and then he went and ruined it with the new poster with the snow angel and the blood stain at the foot.
That's not him. That's the marketing company.
He hand made that.
Then he went out and snow angeled it, him and his wife, and then they went to Comic Con. But I just, I don't know. The first film sucked, and I'm hoping that this new one, you know, I'm part of me, it's like the more and more footage I see of this new one, I'm not liking it, but I don't know, we'll see.
Oh, no,
if
man.
If you can make it more, you know, fathers melting their faces with acid and less, you know, whiny, miserable kids,
yeah,
then.
I mean, if you see it, that scene is really good. I thought it was well paced, and it's very, you know, he's so creepy. The way that outfit looks on him is so creepy, and it's such a great pace of it, and then how it slowly becomes more and more chaotic, and then to the point where he has to do that to his face. But it's just like that scene alone was like, wow, that looks really cool. So I kind of want to see it now just to see if he does more of that kind of stuff. So they had a couple other panels too that didn't really cover. Resident Evil had a panel. Right after that was when the big incident happened, where a guy got stabbed in the eye. it is in the back. This is all in Hall H. In the back of it, I guess it really ended up just being like a scratch, but that was a big deal. And they had to postpone everything by like almost an hour. it was weird.
Wait, that seriously happened?
Yeah, there were apparently two people. I mean. From what we know
friends.
About
two friends,
was it friends? They were in the back. I guess they were arguing over a chair or something.
One guy wanted to switch seats, and the other guy didn't.
Yeah, and then so they ended up. One guy had a pen, and he just stabbed the other guy in the face.
I thought you were joking, Scott.
No,
it's on the news.
I thought it was just some distasteful joke.
Wait, that's good stuff. That's what Comic-Con's made about. You go to Comic-Cons and stab somebody in the face.
It's because they don't check for anything in there. That's the one thing I noticed. Like, I mean, you can go in there with like a regular gun. You can go in there with like a big like AK-47.
Yeah. Well, of course, it's in America.
Yeah, we can go in there with like AK-47. If you just like paint the tip of it orange, like people won't even think anything of it. So it's like it's really kind of disturbing when you think about it.
Until next year, when there's no pens allowed at Comic-Con.
I know. It's going to be like TSA controlling everything.
You're not allowed to bring your friends and be like, I go to Comic-Con, I don't have friends. I'm going to do that next year when I'm there live, too.
Do it live. So the next panel that they had was Universal, and I was actually very, very impressed with this panel. They had Paul, which is a kind of a road trip comedy starring Simon Pegg and Nick Frost, but it has an alien in it. This is what I was talking about earlier about how there's these genre films that they just kind of plop an alien in. That's kind of what this is. It's like a regular road trip buddy comedy. It just so happens to, it just so happens to have an alien in there, and then they actually go to Comic-Con in the movie, which is cool. People love that. They explained later that they didn't actually shoot it in Comic-Con because that'd be like impossible. They had to recreate it out in like an Albuquerque or something.
Are aliens cool again?
Apparently, but they're really funny. Like the alien itself, which is voiced by Seth Rogen, it was just a generic gray alien, but it was the way they played it with it. I thought it was really funny. And the clips, I mean, I didn't think much of it when I heard about the movie, but the clips really kind of impressed me. What did you think of the clips, Josh?
Yeah, I thought the clips were great. I think the concept of taking just a regular green or gray alien and taking everything that's all the mythos based around him, and then Paul himself taking that and just having fun with it, teasing people with anal probing, saying he can speak English because he, you know, effing knows the language.
Yeah, it's like little things like that. It's just they really play with the concept really well. So I'm pretty excited to see that. And then they did Cowboys and Aliens after that, which was Jon Favreau directed the movie. And he kind of made it sound like he didn't have anything at first, which I thought was kind of funny. So he starts out, he's like, oh, you know, we just start, because they had actually just started shooting recently. And then he's like, oh, you know, I don't have much. And then eventually you start seeing, like, you know, he starts bringing the people out and the cast members and stuff. And then he, including Harrison Ford, whose first time he's ever at Comic-Con. And he comes out in handcuffs, like as though he was the guy that was doing the stabbing. I thought that was funny. And so people went crazy. I think that was probably the loudest between that or and the Marvel one next, but was when they were the crowd was the loudest I had heard the entire day, the entire Comic Con really. I mean, people were freaking out when Harrison Ford came in. But yeah, and they showed the clips, and it looked really cool. It's just it's a Western film where aliens attack apparently. But it's this the clip they showed starts out as just like regular Western where it's Daniel Craig stars in it and he's looking like a you know perfect Western star, and then he gets like in jail and everything, and then he ends up they're about to take him out to a different place to try him or whatever, and Harrison Ford's kind of like this like I don't know if he's a bad cowboy, it's hard to tell from that clip, but before they could actually do that, all of a sudden, like they get all these like explosions and the alien.
Do that again.
And then because it just comes down the line, you see it, and then it's like starts shooting, and then and eventually he has some sort of like arm shooting device that is their technology, and he uses that to stop one of them. But it looked pretty badass, and John Favreau directing, I'm pretty excited. What did you think of it, Josh?
Yeah, I liked when, you know, they told Favreau, okay, we want you to make this movie. We want you to start out as just a basic Western. No high-end plot or anything. And then we're going to sprinkle in a little bit of CGI effects and then almost like a Close Encounters style aliens. Again, with Harrison Ford coming out, man, getting a 5-minute standing ovation. That was brilliant.
That's crazy.
And, yeah, the device on Daniel Craig's arm reacting when the aliens showed up, that was a nice little twist of the film. And when you mentioned Harrison Ford, I think he is playing a bad-style cowboy in it because he shows up to, like, break his son out of jail, and he's pretty much saying, if you don't give him to me, I'm going to take him from you.
Yeah, because his son was definitely a bad character.
Oh, yeah.
That's what it seemed like. So it's kind of cool to see him in that, you know, like you know, that graveliness that he has to him. I love that. So it's like,
Was it like, I'm going to take him, or was it, I'm going to take him with me? Cheerio.
It's Harrison Ford.
British. Oh, Harrison Ford. Sorry. I wasn't listening.
Thanks.
I actually haven't listened since we started.
Wow. And we're
talking
hanging
about Comic Con.
Right. Okay, sorry. Oh, my bad.
Oh, man.
Cowboys and aliens. It sounds like an asylum film.
I know, it's not, it has such a silly kind of title. Yeah, that's why
They'll have one. Asylum's going to have one soon. They're going to be like cowboys and space robots.
There's
cowboys and extraterrestrials.
It'll be called Aliens and Cowboys. It'd be that simple.
Alien versus Cowboys.
I kind of want to see their take on this stuff. I want to see them do cowboys and robots and aliens. That'd be cool. Yeah, so
don't encourage them.
I know. they gotta make money somehow. So I was really impressed with that panel in general, and then which was a nice little build up to probably the biggest panel of the entire Comic Con, Marvel Studios.
Y50.
Yes, exactly. I got so much shit from people for going to that panel.
Sorry, dude. I'll admit I had to give you shit for it.
But the Marvel Studios panel obviously was the big one. The one
marbles?
What?
Like marbles?
Yeah, Cat marbles. Size? Yeah.
They have a panel?
It was Movie Rival was the panel.
It was like right next to the you know Magic the Gathering. It was like stay tuned for marbles.
I saw that they had that. They had
that's
one
how
of,
we roll.
Magic the Card Gathering had one of the bigger booths actually. I thought that was interesting. But yeah, so Marvel Studios. They were mostly focused on, of course, Thor and Captain America, since those come out next year. Captain America, we got a very small glimpse of. It was mostly kind of like World War II footage, and then we saw a quick shot of him. It was kind of dark, and we found out later it was actually one of the test costumes, so it's not even necessarily like the actual thing he's going to wear. Although we also learned even later that he actually wears a couple different costumes throughout the movie. So they do that, and then you think it's over, and it has the logo, and then all of a sudden you see him throw the shield at the camera, which actually I thought was pretty awesome. How do you think he looked in the suit, Josh?
I thought the suit looked World War II Captain America, definitely down to a T. When he had that small glimpse of his turning his face out of the shadow and you see the bright white A on his mask, covering just a little bit over his eyes, and then doing that quick turn and just chucks the shield, I thought that was quite nice. Bit disappointed we only got the face, you know, just from the front. We didn't even see if he had his little wings on his, you know, mask.
Yeah, you can tell.
I thought it was nice, though. They did show us a clip of Hugo Weaving pre-makeup Red Skull.
Yeah.
So we learned a bit of the plot. Like, they're searching for something out of the Thor mythology in the movie, and it looks like Cap's probably going to try and stop him from building some super doomsday weapon.
Yeah. I thought the accent on him was a little off, actually. The on Hugo, I was doing a German accent for because he plays like basically just a regular Nazi or Nazi main guy or something. But he his German accent to me fell a little off. I don't know. Did you notice that at all?
Yeah, it seemed a little soft. It almost seemed a little British for a German.
Yeah, I don't know. So that was kind of interesting. But And this is so small, but his Captain America, Chris Evans' nose looked big. I don't know if you noticed that.
Just actually start the entire movie the way that he appeared in Hulk. Just have him come out of the ice and be like shivering. Get like a cup of hot cocoa.
Nice. So they did that, and then they showed Thor, which they had a much more complete, like a full-on like trailer for it. I was pretty impressed with that. I thought it looked really good. One of the things I really liked about it was they kind of hinted at how they're going to bridge that gap between the mythology of, you know, the whole, you know, their gods and everything, and bring that down to the real world. They kind of hinted at that. There was a line where they're saying something like, what you call magic and science, for us it's the same thing, or something like that. And so it's kind of like interesting. They're trying to find a way to bridge that gap, and I thought they were doing pretty well. And Chris Hemsworth looked awesome as Thor. I mean, the guy was huge, and he, he had some gravitas to him. But everyone else looked pretty good, and the fight sequences looked cool. It's interesting to see that he was doing. I guess when he's not, like I said, I don't know the comics very well, but I guess like when he doesn't have the power of the hammer yet, he's still very very strong. And so it's kind of cool to see him throw people around. And then Natalie Portman is in it, which is kind of random, but, it looked good overall. What'd you think, Josh?
I think this trailer, they really brought it just to appease the fans. Seeing Asgard, seeing Odin, Loki, seeing, Chris Hemsworth get banished from Asgard, sent down to Earth, and his very first line is like, oh God, this is Earth, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know, like just really hating being sent down here. The line where Agent Coulson seems to be our Nick Fury for this Thor movie, kind of taunting Tony Stark, where they have like the main enemy for the Thor movie show up and they're like, just want to start technology, and he's like, I don't know, they never tell me anything.
You see the Destroyer.
Yeah, and he definitely seems, you know, again, without any abilities, like a really buff strong guy, can take care of anything, almost like he has pure military training within him. But I think Thor might overshadow Captain America next year. And how it's playing up between the two films, because from what we've briefly seen of Captain America, it seems a lot more subtle as opposed to Thor. Might be the quieter of the films they have coming out.
It'd be interesting to see, because I mean, Captain America, I think, has the better name, even though they're both, you know, similar and their content, but I think that Captain America has a little better name, but it looks to me like Thor could actually be the better or the more enticing film to go to.
Definitely.
Hey, Nick.
Yeah.
Hey, Nick. Remember that time we met Matt Reeves' wife?
I remember the time I watched the Marvel conference on my Mac.
I'm gonna say that right now Thor will not do as good as Captain America.
Yeah, I mean, I think
I would say that too.
Based purely on name recognition.
Not either one of them is gonna do as well as Iron Man 1 did.
I think that's a given.
Yeah.
I would say maybe Captain America, but probably not.
It'll be tough. But
one thing I don't get is how come none of this has been shown on YouTube?
Because it's not. They just have it not. They wanted to make it Comic Con exclusive. They do that every year. Every year they have some footage from
Dude,
various.
Wait, you mean like Chris? It hasn't leaked yet.
Yeah, like none of it has been leaked.
I think it has. I watched it.
Yeah, I'm sure it has been leaked. Yeah.
Well, I've been following. I can't find any.
Well, I watched it live. So.
Sure, you did.
You watched it live.
I mean, I saw some.
I got pissed by that because some people were live streaming it. I'm like, it's one thing. Like, that's the whole point of going to Comic Con. You know,
Dan, that's how I found it. Actually, is your comment.
Okay.
Once you bitched about it, I was like, oh, I'm gonna go to that site and watch it.
Nice.
That's
thanks.
What I didn't do right when you did that.
That's my fault.
I even put a tweet. I was like, I don't care how illegal this is. I'm watching the Avengers Assemble from New York.
Yeah. Well, it's funny because that's exactly as soon as they started mentioning the Avengers, that's when my live vlog went out. It was like you could just tell everyone was on the Wi-Fi or the 3G and stuff. So it's like no way. I forgot what I was saying. But Avenger. Yeah, that kind of mad because like the whole point is like you know. Josh camping out and stuff like that, like, you know, it kind of takes away from that a little bit, especially if you can see it at the same time. But even if you see it, like, right away, it's like
it I would say, and especially having, like, a press site actually live stream it as coverage and cut out the footage.
Yeah.
Like, I would think that maybe next year they shouldn't be press.
Yeah, that's the thing that really bothered me. I mean, like, if it's just some random site or some person, okay, I get it, it happens. But when it's somebody who's, like, trying to establish themselves as some sort of website, then it's just kind of like, what are you doing? Slap them around a little bit.
Stab them in the eye.
There you go. Mm-hmm. So,
how many times have we mentioned the eye thing in this podcast?
We're going to mention it, like, at least 20 more times before the end.
That's all everyone...
I think we can probably find, like, a YouTube video of eye-stabbing montages that we can end, you know, right at the very end of this.
That's everyone.
I want that out there.
Everyone was talking about that on Sunday, so.
5 minutes later. Oh, and about that eye stab.
Yep. So speaking of Sunday, Josh, I know we went to different things, so what was some of the stuff you went to on Sunday?
Sunday, I was originally going to try and get into the Smallville and Supernatural panel, but then I just sacrificed that because then I found out Glee was going to round it out. It's like, oh, I definitely don't want to be here for that. I decided to spend Sunday as my main convention floor buying stuff day.
Nice.
Which I was very lucky to get the Tron vintage figure.
Oh, nice.
If you weren't here at Comic-Con for one, you're never getting one of these.
Yeah, they had some limited edition ones we mentioned before. Very cool looking. For me, the only thing I really did that day was the castle panel. Which we've actually covered Castle because they do a little bit of Viral, and they announced a new Viral during it. That was actually one of my favorite panels because it was just really funny. Like Nathan Fillion and all those guys are hilarious, and they were they had some clips of some stuff that was really good, and they had a fake teaser for the movie being based off the fake book and things like that. So that was actually a pretty cool panel, and so we have that on our site. So recap of that. There's a lot. They actually gave away or teased a lot of potential plot and character stuff that was going to happen later, including maybe Jennifer Love Hewitt being on there.
Ooh.
I know. Ooh.
Oh my.
Oh my.
Ooh la la.
Exciting.
George Takei. Oh my.
Oh my.
those commercials that he's in with the TVs.
Oh yeah. Oh, great commercial.
Look at this color. Oh, my.
My. Oh, George Takei. But yeah, I mean, yeah, so overall.
He loves you.
So I'm going to go with Josh, who's been there a couple times. I mean, kind of sum up what you think, your overall experience at this Comic-Con, especially in comparison to other ones. I mean, what's your overall kind of recap of it, how you feel?
I definitely feel they're getting a lot more violent.
There you go, Chris. There's that stab in the eye comment coming back.
What is it, 15?
Count them.
Five more to Paul go.
He's definitely taking his revenge out on everyone else. Yeah. I've been hearing a lot of reports, too. People complaining about the outfits getting too short.
Oh, no.
God forbid.
If I see a boob.
Yeah, I know.
It's actually, he's actually talking about the guys' costumes getting too short.
I'm sure they have boobs, too.
Who gives a damn about them, man?
And people just complain about how it's getting away from the source material. It's not becoming kid-friendly. I mean, come on. Comic-Con's given an entire day Sunday just for kids and families.
Yeah.
It's not our fault. It's becoming a lot more risque because, well, look at the material coming out. Mm. I mean, you look at Sucker Punch and you can just start to imagine what all the cosplaying is going to be like for that.
That'll be interesting.
But it's really nice to see the different movie studios each year vying for your hard-earned money in this brilliant recession. You know, just to see Marvel this year really bring out a stellar performance.
Yeah.
To show us every single Avenger on stage to say, you know, we like Norton, we didn't like Norton. Here's your Mark Ruffalo Incredible Hulk.
Yeah. One thing we didn't even really talk about was Scott Pilgrim, and that was kind of dominated the Comic-Con. You know, they had the Scott Pilgrim Experience out in the gas lamp, and then they had where you can get like a t-shirt and stuff like that, and then they also had the panel, which they ended up leading straight to a screening of the film, and then they ended up having two more screenings of the film. And it was kind of the big thing. I mean, I think that was the one I think between that and Tron were the two movies that seemed to really kind of overall just take over. And then, of course, when the news about the Marvel stuff came out, that was pretty big, too. In terms of, like, covering it, because, you know, obviously, when we're there, you know, you're there to experience it, but you're also there to cover it. I mean, we definitely learned a lot. I mean, being my first time, it's like, one thing you learn is you can't do it all yourself. So I think in the future, like I said, you know, the goal is to have Nick and Scott out here, maybe some others. So I think we can kind of create a better game plan where we'll have a lot more coverage. I was actually thinking about doing maybe a Comic-Con page so that way people can kind of go to that because there's so many videos and articles and stuff sometimes that we may be able to kind of...
together one little spot.
Yeah, I think we could probably work some out there too. So we'll figure out some stuff to do next year to really get some really good coverage. I mean, just splitting it up where like we find out there's some viral going on, so then one of us is going to kind of take the lead and try to figure it out at different times. So, we could do that because we know someone else will already be waiting for the big panel that we're waiting to see. So,
you guys can watch the panel, and I think Christian and I will just keep an eye on the bar just in case they do anything viral there.
There you go. And then we'll have, you know, with all the stuff that's on the floor and that's on the, you know, the costumes and stuff, we may try to do more features on that kind of stuff. I can see us, you know, depending on, you know, who's going out there, what kind of technology we have in our favor, we're going to do some pretty good stuff. I think every year seems like we'll have a better and better coverage of Comic-Con. But I think this year we did pretty good for what we had. It's tough, you know, like I said, it was tough for me. I mean, I'm not the kind of person that likes to do a tons of stuff in one day. So that was tough for me. That was really tough for me.
Comic-Con's not for those that like to nap.
Yeah. People like to chill out by themselves and, you know, in a nice air conditioned place. It's not for them. I don't know. Like I was thinking about that. Like I was like, if I weren't covering this, would I go to a Comic-Con? And like, I probably would go like that one time or if it was something I really cared about, but it's just because it's so busy. If it was only like maybe half or even maybe 3/4 of the people, I probably would have a much better time. but that's one of the things that's getting just so crowded.
Stab people in the eyes and get through the crowd.
There we go. Yeah, you gotta do what you gotta do.
Yeah.
Don't be taking my seat.
Yep. Exactly.
We were joking around because it was right after the Resident Evil.
In fact, I might wear a shirt next year that says "Don't take my seat."
And then the back says, "I will stab you in the eye."
Don't stab me in the eye, bro.
That'd be great. Make that t-shirt, Scott.
You heard it here first.
But yeah, so we were joking about that because it was right after the Resident Evil panel. So we were joking about like, they're probably arguing over which Resident Evil movie was better. what's the best Resident Evil movie?
The one with Mila Jovovich in it.
Yeah. But we'll probably still have a few more stories coming out from Comic-Con, and then we'll do a big recap. I'm trying to do maybe tomorrow. I'll have some pictures and just kind of thoughts and stuff. And hopefully that'll kind of round out our Comic-Con coverage from this year. And I want to thank Scott and Nick a lot too for I was so busy doing the actual stuff there that like I couldn't write a lot because the Wi-Fi and the 3G there was just horrible. So they were able to really kind of pick up a lot of my slack on that end. So I wanted to thank you guys.
Yeah, don't take it for granted.
I know, really.
Yep. Don't think it's going to happen next year.
I know. That would be interesting to see how we do that.
Oh, God, we're going to have to leave Corey with it. He says he's going, but I don't know.
We'll see about that.
I'll keep him in check, don't worry.
Yeah, and I'm sure, you know, Josh, you're planning to go in next year, right, too?
Already bought my 4-day pass.
That's right. So, Josh will be giving us some coverage as well. So, we'll definitely, I'll be buying him more lunches and breakfasts. So, for support. So, yeah, so definitely, well, next year, you know, we'll have even more. Hopefully, by then, we should know more about our Avengers movie. We may even have, you know, who knows what kind of content they'll provide for that.
I think it'd be big on Batman, too.
Oh, that's right, because Batman comes out in 2012, so right. Next year we should have that. When's Superman? Is it 2013?
I don't know.
No, 2012.
Is it 2012 also?
So man, that year is going to be an overload.
Yeah, so we may have some Superman stuff, too.
I think Batman, isn't it before July?
I forget.
Or is it summer? I don't know.
Either way.
This summer.
There'll be some good, no, next summer. Or 2012 summer.
And Captain America is, what, before Comic-Con next
year? Yeah, I think so. You won't see anything for that.
Sad.
I know.
I think they did mention of one of the two. It was either Thor or Captain America was going to be coming out like 2 weeks right after Comic-Con ended, I think. Hmm. So, anything, they'll probably have a screening of it at Comic-Con next year.
Right. Yeah, that would be crazy. That would be cool.
They'll just have Captain America walking around and be like, dude, we're sick of you already. We've moved on. Just put your movie out already.
Well, the Captain America actually comes out July 22nd, which is like right in the middle of it.
Yeah, that's true.
So they actually might, because Salt came out this weekend and they had their panel. So I wouldn't be surprised if they might actually do something. But they would have to do something like that where they do some sort of screening or something.
Screening with the cast.
Yeah, it'd be cool if they did something like that. Yeah, because Thor comes out in May, so that they won't do anything for Thor. I thought their presentation for Thor this year was good enough, so it's not a big deal. Yeah, I think that pretty much covers it. You guys have any other things you want to say about your experience at Comic-Con?
Yeah, well, no, it was great. I felt a big part of it and everything. There was that one guy that I saw that one time.
Right,
was,
that's pretty good cool. Stuff,
you know?
I saw so many things. It was so much fun, and I would recommend it.
I met Chuck. Oh, wait, no, that
I
was you.
I stabbed a guy in the eye.
Wait, that was me.
Yeah, I stabbed Dan in the eye.
I had to explain Double Rainbow to a 70-year-old woman.
So did I.
Hey, it's funny, because you mentioned that you had to put Double Rainbow to two 70-year-old women, and I threw in Double Rainbow in my Rocket Puppeteers article.
There you go. Because Nathan Fillion was like saying that a bunch of times, because he does it on Twitter, too. And so and we were all chanting, like, all the way, and stuff like that. It was really funny. And so, like, there's these two 7-year-old ladies who were sitting next to me. I'm not even sure why they were there. Like, one of them didn't even know, like, what Castle was, and then the other one. But it was just weird, because it's like they did it, and she's like, what's Double Rainbow? I mean, I'm like, it's an internet thing. Don't worry about
it. Why? There was two 70-year-old women at Comic-Con?
Yeah, exactly. That alone was crazy. And then they were in the Castle panel, which was funny.
Did you see the Bob Stencil video? Yeah. With the, like, 70-year-old woman?
No.
From the Hallmark cards? she was stealing his thunder.
Yeah, she was.
What is the origins of this Bob Stencil guy? He's funny, but like, what's his origin?
He like, I guess he was some like airport.
Well, that's his fictional like character. He was a flight attendant.
Fictional character was like a flight attendant from some fictional airport that like ended in 1970, something yeah. like that. Like had two flights in its history.
But was he just like some guy just started?
Well, he just started asking questions, like really funny questions to people, and I think it was in 2007 that Alex from First Showing kind of, I don't want to say hired him, but got him on his team.
Yeah.
To exclusively cover it for them instead of, I think he did it for his YouTube channel.
Interesting.
So it was just funny. So just some guy that asked funny questions.
Yep. There you go.
With a mustache.
That was one thing I noticed about this comic. Like, man, people ask some bad questions. And like,
I might grow a mustache for next Comic Con just to give him a run for his money.
Let's all grow mustaches.
Oh, I'm already ahead of you. All of you, then.
Well, there you go. You don't do as much work. You lazy bum.
Just pay for everything to get to Comic Con.
There you go.
Yep. Don't ask Dan to bump.
Wait, then Corey would be all alone running the site.
Oh, good lord.
True. Don't go to Comic-Con.
Oh, jeez. All right, so that pretty much is it. Thanks, everyone, for coming. Thanks, Josh, for helping me out at Comic-Con.
Oh, it's been a pleasure.
Yeah, it was great. It was real fun. I actually, in case anybody's wondering, I did meet up with Kevin from Fuse Film, but we only pretty much hung out, like, the preview night. So,
Oh, that's fun.
But yeah, but it was cool. And so definitely, you know, meeting other people and meeting other bloggers, too. I met one of the guys from Making Of again. So hopefully next year we'll all be able to do a lot more, and it'll be – hopefully get some actually one-on-one interviews, which I know Kevin had. So maybe we'll get some of those. That'd be nice.
Ooh.
Ooh, fancy. And then – and we do have plenty of – so people are wondering, we get tons and tons of – not tons and tons, but a lot of Comic-Con stuff. So I got to organize it because I don't want to ship out like 30 different things. So I'm going to organize it into – group it into a couple different packages, and then we'll do some contests soon. We do have another contest before that, though, which I'm not going to give away here, though, where we're going to give away a DVD to something. But after that, we will start giving away some of the Comic-Con stuff, including their they had some shirts from Marvel for Captain America and Thor, so we'll give those away. Yeah. Like I said, the signed, probably one of the cooler things, the signed coaster from Boxlight, Bruce Boxleitner and the director of Tron Legacy. A couple of things. I have a Castle water bottle.
Ooh.
Ooh, fancy.
Can I win that one?
No, sorry. I got a bunch of the NBC stuff from the party, so there's like a Chuck mug, things like that.
Can I win that one?
We'll talk later. No. All right, so that's it. So thanks, everyone, for joining us, and look forward to next year's coverage of Comic-Con.
Yeah.
Eye stabbing.
Yeah, no, hopefully no more eye stabbings.
You won't hear from us until then.
Yeah, we'll be gone. Don't even bother.
We're done!
We're ComicConViral.com. Alright.
And Josh, just to let you know, for the Smallville panel that you missed, you said you missed it, right?
Yes.
Yeah, just to let you know, it was probably the best, like, it was long, it was like 7-minute screening. But it was also probably the best preview out of the entire thing.
Yeah, I heard about the suit they're using. I did actually, though, catch a small leak clip of what's happening next season when they were counting down through them. So I'm really, really excited what they're bringing out this year.
No flags, no types, my ass. They're breaking that rule.
Well, it is the last season, so they get to.
Well, good, because I'm tired of that show. All right, that's it.
Yeah.
Bye. Okay.